Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris Russell and Pete Medhurst on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
301-230-0980. Still got some stuff to get to here in this hour, including the debate on the two-point play. Certainly caused a lot of discussion since being brought into the National Football League. Obviously been a huge part of the college game for several years. Let's knock out a couple of these calls, though, before we get to that and transition. Want to get all of you in. Your percentage on what Washington wins this week. We've had some people as high as 50. We've had some people as high as zero. You get the idea. Let's go to line four. Jeff, what's up, Jeff?
What's going on, guys? I would peg the Commanders' percentage at 25. So, but I did have a question related to the 2-point conversion. I said yesterday you don't go for it until you have to. Pete, with your college experience thrown in, what do you think about if you win the toss, actually taking the kickoff and running no huddle to jumpstart your offense to start a game?
I got no problem with it. I think sometimes we get offenses that are much better in tempo than anything. We see it at the college game all the time, some of your higher scoring, high octane offenses. Now, there is a drawback to that. You score quickly, consistently. Your defense spends a lot of time on the field, middle of the fourth quarter. You know, if it's close game, they might be a little vulnerable at that point. But to me, it gives you an opportunity to get into a quick rhythm, get into the game right away, and see what and put a little pressure on the defense, dictate to them what's happening there. So I would have no problem if you come out in something like that without question.
I'm referring to a specific NFL team that is off to a very slow start, and the coach referenced yesterday. Well, we like to defer the kickoff because you might get the ball at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half. And I'm like, dude, when you're down 14-3 after 5 minutes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's almost an unwritten rule of coaches to defer when you win the toss, and I've never gotten it.
I mean, look, if fate works out, and like Navy's done that for years. Ken's always been a defer guy. And when fate has it that you score at the end of the first half and then score the first possession of the second half, all of a sudden, in many ways, you've either gotten a game even or in some ways opened up a big lead on the opponent because they didn't have a possession in between.
Right.
But it's got to work out.
Or even if you don't score, you keep their offense off the field.
But it's got to work out that way, though.
Right.
It's got to work out that way to have maximum bang for the buck,
right.
Kind of like the two-point play.
Right.
It's got to work out to give you the maximum bang for the buck in a situation like that.
Right.
And if my defense sucks like Washington's is right now, if I'm Ron Rivera and I win the toss, I'm putting my offense on the field. Carson Wentz is on pace to throw 60 touchdown passes. Let him go. Give me a lead. Let me dictate to the other team and put the pressure on them playing from behind. That's the way I'd go. There's no chance I'd put my defense on the field first right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And along with your percentage chance of Commanders winning, have you run the over-under on how many Eagles fans in the stadium on Sunday yet?
We have not. But, well, we talked about it yesterday. I think we both thought, you know, what, right around 15,000? Maybe it'll be 20,000. I don't know. I know the game's almost sold out, if not completely sold out.
With the enthusiasm behind that Philly product right now, I think you're definitely talking minimum 12,000 to 15,000, if not more, because that's such a short ride down to Landover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 25 might be more realistic. The weather on Sunday is supposed to be absolutely spectacular, so it's going to be interesting. Albeit the Meadowlands, unfortunately, watching probably another debacle, but we'll see what happens.
Jeff, appreciate you, pal.
Just one note on that, and it just reminded me, like, because Jeff's a big Bengals fan. Bengals 0-2, Raiders 0-2, and the who is the other playoff team that's 0-2? Why am I? Who? I can't hear you. Oh, the Titans. Thank you. That's exactly the Bengals, the Titans, the Raiders. Three of the seven playoff teams from the AFC last year, 0-2.
By the way, when does Malik Willis start for Tennessee?
Not that far from now, if Ryan Tannehill, because their defense without Harold Landry is clearly not as good. They're already suspect. They were suspect in the secondary. We talked about that last week. And they can't, you can't use Derrick Henry to his full capability if you're not a threat, stops, right?
If your quarterback is not a threat and your defense can't make stops, yeah. Derrick Henry's irrelevant.
Yeah, and your quarterback is at best. He's above average, at best.
Not that we're surprised by this, but how good was Buffalo last night?
Oh, my gosh.
My Super Bowl looked really good on Monday Night Football last night.
And my Super Bowl pick as well. I have them over the – you have the Bills over the Ravens, right?
And I have Ravens Bill, over the – Ravens oh, over sorry. The Ravens over the Eagles.
Ravens over the Eagles, right. So you have the Ravens – that's right. You had the Ravens in the Super Bowl, Ravens mm-hmm. winning. I had the Bills – winning over the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Remember with the caveat that Jimmy G would take the 49ers
sure enough,
to the Super Bowl? And that's
he's
exactly
large
what happened.
And in charge.
But think about this, right? The Bills did not have Gabe Davis last night. And
right.
still rolled up. How many points did they score? 40? 41?
41.
Whatever it was. Now, we've seen hot starts. Maddie and I were talking about this before, right? The Rams got off to a 7-1 start. They were killing everybody early last year, right? Putting up big numbers, and then boom, they just hit a big lull. So let's not think that the Bills are going to play 17 games at the level that they played the first two, but my goodness, are they really good.
Let's go to line two. JR's there. What's up, JR? JR
got
hit by
a 15-minute
clock. JR Sport Brief, 10 o'clock over on the fan.
Can I bring up something here? It's hard to... It illustrated on TV, but somebody passed this along. A friend of mine passed this along to me because I don't follow guys on social media. I'm not a jock sniffer like that. I never have been, never will be. I only follow guys that I have to.
You're junk.
And even that. I certainly do not ever follow Jamin Davis on Instagram, but apparently this is from his verified Instagram, _itsshadow. And basically it's a video clip. I don't know what movie it's from, but basically there's a bunch of dudes on horses with a bunch of hoods on their head and a bunch of the flames the
you know what that is.
What is it?
You know what that is.
No, I mean
that is like lynch mob, KKK
that's what I mean, that's the scene, but I don't know what movie that's from.
What it symbolizes.
Right. But that's just the point, is Jamin Davis put this up on his Instagram, right? And basically it was to send a message to everyone that's criticizing him, the fan base, the media, and specifically you would think his coach is to basically back the bleep off, right? The audio is it's a very short audio clip. It's a very short video clip. I think he got rid of it. I tried to find it on Instagram this morning.
It was taken down.
Okay, it was taken down. So I don't know if he deactivated his account or whatever it was. But basically the point being is he's tired of getting criticized and blamed solely. And I will say this.
As now, he should be.
Yeah.
As he should be.
I missed some things, certainly on Sunday. I'm not telling you that I saw everything because, again, I was on the air during the entire second half of the game with Denton Day here on 980 and 106.7 The Fan. So I may have missed some things, but I thought Jamin Davis, from an individual defensive perspective, was the most impactful guy that I saw. Now, again, I know I missed some things. I'm sure he got exposed in some areas that, again, dinged him that they weren't happy with, because otherwise they wouldn't have been subbing in David Mayo. But when you talk about a guy who is largely dreadful in week one, who at least rebounded, showed up, and did some positive things, that was Jamin Davis in week two. Again, does he need to get better? Absolutely. Does he need to be more consistent? Of course. Does he need to have better technique, fundamentals, think less, all that? Yes. But the notion that Jamin Davis was the problem on Sunday, not happening in my eyes. That's not fair. That's not fair, even though he was being subbed out. That was the game plan. He was being subbed out because they know that they can't ask him to do everything yet. He's still too raw. He's still thinking too much. He's still reacting and not, or he's still being reactive instead of proactive. And some of that is okay. I mean, you'd like it to be cleaned up, but Pete, my point being is he was far from the problem on Sunday.
That's my point. This is a unit-wide issue. This is not a Jamin Davis issue, and it's complete BS that they continue to single him out. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the one thing, and I will agree with this. For all of the criticism that Chase Young gets for being a first-round pick that has not had a chance to play like it yet, Jamin Davis is also getting that same treatment from a consistency of criticism standpoint. Yes, you expect a first-round pick to have more of an impact on your play, but he's also a victim of them trying to change his position and then changing back to a place that he's a little bit more comfortable with. But it's still the National Football League. What he's doing here is a lot different than what he's doing at Kentucky. And, you know, it takes time for some people to develop into that role, let alone change positions both years that you've played in the National Football League. And it's just kind of asinine that they keep taking shots at one dude and putting it on them. You know, at some point, those coaches got to look in the mirror, man. This is their game plan. This is their scheme that has an entire unit right now of guys that are good individual professional football players not looking like a good unit out there consistently on the field right now. And that's, right now, less said, the better. This is one of those times where less said, the better, in my mind, when it comes to a coaching staff. They don't need to say much. The players don't need to say much. Get ready to play your toughest opponent that you may see all season coming up this week. So we're not blaming guys. We're not pointing. We're not deflecting blame at player A, B, C, or D. Hey, we got to play better as a unit. Let's move on. You know, if I'm Ron this week and I'm short with some answers, I'm okay with that. Less said, the better. Be better. Be better against Philadelphia, or you're going to get embarrassed in front of your own fans coming up this week. JR's back online too. What's up, JR?
Hey guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Listen, Jack Del Rio is the problem, man. I'm telling you, the man is pitiful, man. He's stuck on playing that 1980 style defense where you rush the four men and you put those two sorry linebackers in the hole to try to get to the quarterback. They're picking up every time. He doesn't disguise anything. Then he plays that zone defense where the receivers just run in the open space, and the ball is thrown every time. But anyway, to say that, 90% of your callers and callers said something about the defensive coordinator. I don't know how you guys can't see that he's a big problem.
Wait. We didn't say that he wasn't a big problem. But we're not going to sit here and blame 100% of it on Jack Del Rio and not the players.
Well,
I mean, it's not the players' fault at all? At all?
I think they are missing assignments, and far as I'm concerned, the guy who's in charge is responsible for that.
Well, okay. Let me ask you this. I don't know what you do for a living, but if you do something wrong at work, is it your fault or is it your boss's fault?
It's my fault, but eventually the boss is responsible.
Sure.
So if the job ain't getting done,
sure.
If the job don't get done, who they gonna come fired?
No,
boss.
I understand that. I mean, Jack's gonna get fired, or Jack's gonna resign if not at the end of this year, before the end of this year. I mean, there is almost no doubt in my mind, because eventually you pay the price, or you pay the piper, or whatever. But my point being is this radio show will never, ever, ever do what too many other radio shows and too many other fans and media do, and that's single-handedly blame one person, one individual, for everything that's wrong under the sun. Because that's not the way it works.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but he's been there 3 years. The first year, we had a watered-down schedule, and we only won, seven games, and we lucked up and won the division because we went against bad quarterbacks. Since then, he has done nothing. We've been the worst defensive team on third down, so I don't know what you got to see. And he's going to cost the head coach his job if he doesn't get rid of this man. We have no chance of beating the Eagles if this man is in charge of that defense, because he don't have a clue. He played 7 yards off the receivers on third and three, and the man just run down 3 yards, turn around, and catch the ball first down. He doesn't play man-to-man. He doesn't blitz corners. He doesn't blitz safety. He blitz those two side linebackers over and over again with a quarterback, see him coming, and adjust to it every single time. Just look at it. It's frustrating for me. But we got no chance of beating the Eagles. Zero. Okay?
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And he did blitz St. Just, and St. Just got back to the quarterback in week one.
Yes.
So he does blitz corners. He has done that.
And
so.
he is blitzing the linebackers, too,
but that's point. But that was his point. That was the only way. He said that was the only players that he's blitzing. But he has sent McCain. He has sent St. Just, I know for a fact.
Right.
So.
Well, yes, St. Just caused an intentional grounding, to your point, off a corner blitz in week one. But my point is you are going to you're going to blitz and pressure with different guys. Like, if you don't want Jack Del Rio to be as conservative in the first half as he was last year, when they were basically rolling those four first-round guys out there and just saying, hey, get home. If you guys want him to be more creative with blitzes, stunts, twists, all that stuff, what did we say? He blitzed 36% of the time, I think, last year, which was like fifth or sixth in the NFL. If you want him to be more creative, guess what? A gambling defense, a more aggressive defense, by nature, is going to have to cover better on the back end, because you're going to be more exposed, whether it's in man, which it usually is when you blitz, or zone, because again, that's the whole idea of creating more heat, of putting more pressure, of being more exotic, of doing different things, is somebody's got to make a play on the back end. Guess what happened on that third and 15, 22-yard touchdown to DeAndre Swift? Nobody made a play on the back end. They literally let the guy set up shop on his ass on the Ford Field turf, and he got up and ran like the wind, and nobody was near him, okay? Is that Jack Del Rio's fault? I don't know. Ron seemed to indicate yesterday, Pete, I'm trying to find the exact quote. Ron seemed to indicate that one of the linebackers, and I don't know if it was Jamin or Cole, kind of screwed up on that play. I want to get the exact tweet, but that's the way I interpreted it watching Ron yesterday, who was, by the way, chowing down while he was meeting with the media. And a lot of fans had a problem with that. They found that to be disrespectful. I didn't really find it to be disrespectful. I mean, you know, the guy's got a lot to do and a lot to deal with. The man needs to eat. I didn't find it disrespectful, but a lot of fans thought it was disrespectful based on the comments that I saw while watching the press conference. Whatever. Like, Ron keeps circling that this isn't a scheme issue, that this isn't a personnel issue, that there was some miscommunication, but this was a big play bust issue. And there is a lot of truth to that. This was a big play bust issue time and time and time again. They let up, again, five or six explosive plays, two of which came on third down, even though they've been better on third down. I mean, the 58-yarder to Amon-Ra St. Brown on the end around, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, end around. The 49-yarder early where, St. Just and William Jackson got confused. Again, there's so many different – plus the 52-yard free kick return. That was another disaster. My point being – is Ron is trying to isolate it to it was a big play bust game, and he's right to a degree, but every other bit of evidence that we have is that it's more than just one game, a couple of isolated plays, and that, and as soon as they clean that up, that's the problem. Because we dealt with this last year during the first six games, and it did get better until all the injuries and attrition hit, Pete. But we don't have six games or seven games against mediocre-ish or above-average quarterbacks and offenses in order to screw around and figure out how to communicate and how to play things and bunches and end-around reverses better. We don't have that time.
Before we talk about going for two, let's get to Lou. What's up, Lou?
My people, man. What's happening? What's happening, man?
What
I
up,
hit a
Louis?
Fuss in there, man.
What's going
Not
on?
Not a now? Whole lot, Chris. I just want to know. I just want to ask you guys an honest question. So, what is the like? What? Why is it so hard for the staff to go back and look at the 2020 season, the way we play defense? I know we might not have some of the talent. I know Chase is out. Some of the players are, you know, they're not on the team. But you know, some of these players they have on the team is. They professional. They get paid. So I'm confused. How hard is it for JDR to go back and look at the, you know, some of the tapes and correct the mistake they making? Like, I mean, this is week two going on week three. We seen the same thing from a year ago. I mean, this prevent, like the prevent defense is not working, man. It ain't working. So I'm just like, I mean, you guys, if something is not working, you're going to go back and try to fix it, right? But how hard is it? How many times do we have to come on the radio and talk about it? Like, I mean, it seemed like there's a connection between, I don't know, man. It's just I'm confused, man. Somebody explain that to me, man. Appreciate y'all taking my call, man. I'm out, man.
Lou,
oh, by the way, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Chris. Yes, sir.
Kirk Cousins still trash.
I knew that was coming. I appreciate you, Lou.
I just want to rub that on your face.
I hear you. He was terrible last night. There is no doubt about it. By the way, real quickly on the Jamin Davis thing that we brought up earlier this segment with the video meme that's now been deleted. Crab Cakes and Football brought this up. I didn't make the immediate connection, but I guess I should have. And you kind of described what the scene, the clip was. That it could possibly stem from that dust-up gate, right? Remember when we said the players basically, by and large, had his back, and nobody privately that I knew of, nobody publicly, when asked about Jack Del Rio, they supported him. Jack throws Jamin Davis basically under the bus last week, right? A lot of people had an issue with that. All of a sudden, Jamin Davis is posting memes and video clips on his verified Instagram about basically, you know, like you describe with, you know, men with hoods on horses and, you know, whatever, and basically saying, get off my bleeping back. You know, I'm not the only problem here. Is this the first crack in the foundation officially? I don't know.
I mean, at some point, dude, I mean, you get pissed off when a unit is failing as a group, and you're the one guy that they keep pointing to publicly. They're not calling anybody else out. They're saying it's 52. And that's I look, you're a human being, man. If a group is having a tough time in an office place, but they keep walking down the hallway and saying, hey man, you're not pulling your weight. You have these meetings in the conference room. And the guy sits at the head of the table, or a woman sits at the head of the table, and they point at you and go, you're not pulling your weight. And meanwhile, you look at the sales numbers, and they're as anemic as hell for the whole group. I would get up in the room and say, look, it's just not me. It's these other jabronis in here, too. So he's human. I understand the emotion involved. And I don't necessarily think he's wrong. Could he have maybe used a different way, a different picture to describe it? Maybe. But I don't think the young fella is wrong. That's
all I'm
gonna say.
JDR was trying to send a message. Jamin Davis was trying to maybe send a message.
I agree 100% with that. 1-800. 301-230-0980. To two or not to two? We'll talk about that next. 25 minutes away from Dumb Dumb of the Day. It's all right here on Russell and Medhurst on the Team 980, the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sometimes the walk-up is just too good to listen to, such as this one right here. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Chris, before we finish up any of these calls here, we got to get into this real quick. To go for two or not go for two. Okay, right. I think everybody looks at it as, if it works, yes. It's a tremendous positive. If it works, and you, like in this case, the one that was so controversial from this week, if you get it, sure, you score a touchdown, you win by a point if your kicker can make an extra point. Mm-hmm. And obviously all of that backfired on Washington because they didn't make the two. Your kicker missed his next extra point, so you were down 9 when you only needed one possession left. So it all blew up in their face. For all of the analytical nerds, the numbers nerds, we understand what the math can be, but nobody takes into account what happens if we don't get the daggone two-point conversion. And if you don't get it, you end up in a much worse place like Washington did this past week.
Well,
I mean, nobody thinks about the other side.
Where you wind up, to your point, is still needing then a two-point conversion, because you then need the 8 instead of the 7 to tie, or the 6 to – you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So you still need the two-point conversion. And their point is – that you'd rather go for 2 two-point conversions if something doesn't work out, down 14, and win the game, or try to win the game, but you don't actually win the game if you fail on that first 2-point conversion and you're still down by 8. You don't win the game, because you don't win the game.
It's simple math, Hoss.
Whereas if, now, again, as I pointed out yesterday, and Ben Kremel did this big write-up,
Benny K.
The team980.com. He did his own write-up. He did a write-up, and we appreciate of the interview and what Jay Gruden had to say. And you heard Jay say yesterday, again, if you missed the whole thing, we've got a podcast. Again, Krimmel's got the story, theteam980.com. Matt's got a podcast, of course, at Russell and Medhurst in the podcast section. Very easy to find, where, like Jay said, he didn't agree with it, whatever, he doesn't use that. Here's the thing, okay? I understand. To your point, Pete, if you make the two-point conversion, Brendan Daralytics was yelling at me last night. I understand if you make the two-point conversion and you're only down by six, you then need one defensive stop and a traditional touchdown to win in regulation. I got it. I understand that. We pointed that out yesterday. I pointed that out on Sunday during the game with Denton on both stations. I got it. I understand that. I understand why you would want to do that. I understand that you probably don't want to go into overtime. I get it all. But it doesn't mean what you would like to do and what you want to do is the smarter thing to do than the straight up thing to do and the normal conservative thing to do. Now, that's assuming that you have full confidence in Joey Sly, which I don't think Ron does. How could you, when you look at what Joey Sly has not done this offseason, preseason, and so far through two games? That's number one. Number two, again, as I said Sunday, as I said yesterday, as you can read about and hear about in the rant, I said, look, if Ron doesn't believe that his defense, Pete, can get two defensive stops, then that's the rationale that Ron should be using, not some stupid dopey chart that tells you to go for it because the win probability is this and Seth Walder was going to be upset at you because the win expectancy and blah, 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 blah. If Ron believes that his field goal kicker, his place kicker stinks and he's got no confidence, again, I don't know why he's on the team, but privately Ron may be not as confident as one kick, one kick. It was just one kick. Now, no. It's more than one kick.
Cost you a chance to potentially,
right?
I mean, you got to get the onside kick still, but I mean, again, there's just too many variables that open up if you miss,
right? But again, you agree with me that Ron shouldn't have confidence in his defense that they can get two defensive stops, right?
No, of
course
not.
Again, if you do kick the extra point and assuming that Sly makes it and you're down seven with 10.5 minutes left to go, again, the analytics, the number nerds are basically saying now you have to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion to win it. And that is true, right? Or you can just score the traditional touchdown and you can kick the extra point. And assuming that is good and that's no safe assumption, then you're tied. Maybe you go into overtime. Maybe you play last possession, whatever. My point is, the only way I was able to justify it in my mind with Ron is that he didn't trust his place kicker and or he didn't trust his defense to get more than one stop. And one stop was questionable at its very least. So, and when I say the one stop thing, again, if you kick the extra point upon the Antonio Gibson touchdown, you're down seven. Now my defense has got to get the stop on the next series, and then I've got to score and either tie it or go for two and take the lead. And then my defense has to get another stop because it's two stops at that point. Whereas with 10.5 minutes left to go, whereas if you go for the two and make it, again, you're down six. Now your defense needs one stop, and presumably you need a regular touchdown. Maybe you still need that second stop, but again, that's the way to kind of think about it and justify it. But Ron didn't even mention that. Ron would have been better off mentioning that than some stupid chart that everyone's going to run around going, "Hey, see, you know who didn't do the stupid chart thing? You know who didn't do it? Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins. You know who won their game on Sunday, Pete?
Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins.
Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins. They won their game on Sunday in big-time come-from-behind fashion against the Baltimore Ravens. Let me take you through it real quickly. They were down 35-14, were the Miami Dolphins, late in the third quarter, right? Everybody kind of knows this. They scored a two-yard touchdown pass early in the fourth with 12-12 left to go. What did Mike McDaniel do down then at that point, 35-20 down 15, Okay, so slightly different scenario. Slightly different scenario, but down 15 at that point. What does he do?
Kicked.
He kicked. Extra point, good. Now it's a 14-point game. So now we're at 14 points, which is exactly what the Commanders were at. So that's the first salvo. The next touchdown with 7:47 left to go. Tyreek Hill, 48-yard touchdown from Tua Tagovailoa, down 35-27. So now you're down by 8. Exactly same scenario. However, a little bit less time. What does Mike McDaniel do?
Kicked.
Extra point, correct. Thank you, sir. Now you're down by 7. Okay? Justin Tucker then adds a 51-yard field goal, we think, to kind of... Before that, Tyreek Hill, a 60-yard touchdown pass, 2.5 minutes later, with 5:19 left. Now you're down 35-34. What does Mike McDaniel do? Does he go for the lead, or does he go for the 35-35 tie, and I'm going to take my chances that momentum is going to carry me here? What does he do?
He sent Gary Apremian in, and he kicked.
There you go. So Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins were down 35-14 entering the fourth quarter. Scored a touchdown to make it a 35-20 game. Again, slightly 1 point difference from the decision Ron had. He kicked. Then, again, they were down exactly 14, 35-21, and Tyreek Hill, and he kicked. With less time, but he kicked. You would think more urgency. Again, the analytics say one thing. Teams are 49%, whatever they... Pete, I'm not telling you I trust Joey Sly. I don't trust Joey Sly at all. I'm telling you, Ron would have been way better off if he would have explained it. And I know he can't throw Joey Sly under the bus. Look, guys, I was worried about us being able to get off the field multiple times. And I was worried about this game going into a track meet in overtime. He would have been way better off explaining it other than, you guys will like this. I used an analytics chart.
I mean, I can make up an analytics chart that says at 21-14,
yeah,
kick, plus one, plus one, plus one, and give him that chart and say, here's what this chart says.
Are we? Let me ask you this real quickly. Are we dum-dums?
No.
Are we dum-dums for missing? Is Mike McDaniel, who went to a Yale, is he a dummy?
Dude. That guy's going to do big things in Miami.
I know he is.
They're going to be big time. That Dolphins-Bills rivalry is about to be back on in the AFC East.
And Mike McDaniel is one of the coolest people you're ever going
to
meet.
That's one about to be dudes. Back on in the AFC East.
I love both of those teams.
That's going to be fun to watch. 60 seconds each. We'll go to line two and Big Al. Big Al, 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Man, I need more than 60, but I'll say what I have to say. Right now, I'm not even worried about the extra point. I'm just worried about Montez Sweat. He doesn't give us anything. We got the wrong Sweat. We need to trade him immediately while he got some value. You got Janoris Jenkins, Pierre Paul, Blake Martinez, Xavier Rhodes, Jamie Collins, Eric Flowers, Landon Collins, all these people available. I understand we're going young, but we need to incorporate some veterans that know what they're doing. We are absolutely horrible on defense, and the front office is even worse than the damn defense, man. It's getting old. We're talking about stuff that doesn't even – the two-point conversion, that's fine. What analytics, that's fine, but we need help.
And you're right, Al. You need help. You got hit by the 15-minute clock. Roberto, you got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, boys and girls, we need to play better defense. Duh! The offense has generated 55 points, if my math is correct, last two games. The problem is the defense is giving up too many points. So that's the pickle, folks. Defense needs to get way better. I mean, way better. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, big fella.
I need a pickle right now.
Oh, my daughter loves pickles.
A half-sour pickle. I've got a bunch of them in my refrigerator. I got to get back on my good eating today. That's how I'm going to eat good.
My daughter, though, is a pickle snob. She only likes the Mount Olive kind. So has to be Mount Olive.
Really?
Yeah, pickle snob. Though
really?
She does take. I always give her mine off my Chick-fil-A sandwiches because I don't eat pickles.
Like the pickles with the kosher dill. I forget. Mm. I mean, there's so many good brands. Yeah. I got Nathan's in my refrigerator. I bought Tempeh, which is like a Jewish, thing out of New York. Oh, they make the best pickles.
Russell's dumb of the day is coming up next. But first, he'll tell us what's happening.
All right, good news as we started the show and talked about it a lot, especially during hour number one. Cam Curl cleared to return, first reported by John Keim, Odyssey DC, and The Athletic's Ben Standing confirming that as well. We talked about this throughout the show. If you missed any of it and the breakdown and who might spy Jalen Hurts as the Eagles and what chance you give the Commanders as they come in for week three, hit the Odyssey Rewind feature on the Team 980, but Washington claiming Cowboy defensive lineman John Ridgeway, who was waived, and cutting Donovan Jeter, who was just signed and played in one game in Detroit on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are signing to their practice squad wide receiver Cole Beasley, certainly a controversial figure, especially last year with Julio Jones and Chris Godwin banged up and Mike Evans suspended. Hockey, three big retirements. P.K. Subban, 33, calling it an NHL career and a fine one at that. Sidney Ouattara signing a one-day contract. He's going to retire as a member of the Bruins. He played 24 years, including one with the Capitals. And Keith Yandle, longtime NHL defenseman, who actually broke the all-time Ironman streak this season, playing 989 consecutive games. He is retiring as well. So three big NHL defensemen retire. Maybe they were retiring because 24 years ago today, Cal Ripken's streak ended in Baltimore against the Yankees. And that's what's trending.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but you guys have been the most. You've knocked it out on the phone lines the first 2 days this week. We appreciate you listening in. You're dominating it right now, helping us dominate it in the midday. We love it. 301-230-0980. Write it down. Live it. Love it. Be a part of it tomorrow here on the Team 980. Without further ado, you know what it's time to do. That's right. The people that step in doo-doo.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day on Russell and Medhurst.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Pedro. This courtesy of Matt Essig, who does an excellent job producing this fine radio program. He sent this to me, so we're going to use it. Doug Ramsey, 53 years old, Fayetteville, Arkansas native, was arrested on Saturday night on charges of terroristic threatening and third-degree battery. You might ask, why? What was he doing? Well, apparently he wasn't happy with the Arkansas comeback as they almost did the horror show and lost to Missouri State and then turned on the Jets and actually won. So just after 10 o'clock on Saturday night, officers were dispatched to a parking garage for a disturbance that had previously occurred in the Stadium Drive parking garage just outside of the Razorback Stadium. The responding officer found two males with bloody faces at the scene. After doing some investigation, it was determined that Ramsey, the 53-year-old, was allegedly in the traffic lane of the structure attempting to leave when a Subaru inched his way and in front of his Bronco and made contact with the front passenger's side tire. Ramsey got out of the vehicle and allegedly punched through the back windshield of the Subaru that attempted to cut him off. The owner of the Subaru then got out and stated that Ramsey pulled him in close and started punching his body and then bit the owner's nose and ripping the flesh off of the nose of the victim. Now, you might think this is a little harsh, right, for a traffic incident inside after a big Razorbacks win and all that. Well, here's why Matt chose it. When you bite noses of people, you're biting flesh, right? You're biting meat. You know what Mr. Ramsey's title and job in life is?
Dentist.
No.
A meat packer.
You're getting closer.
He cuts meat.
Not exactly. He's the CEO, COO of, get ready for it, Beyond Meats. Which, if you don't know what Beyond Meat is, it's a Tyson's Food website that, of course, presents and populates the world with non-meat products, non-flesh animal products. That dude bit the nose off of another Arkansas fan because he cut him off in the parking lot, and the dude is the CEO, COO, whatever, of Beyond Meat.
So he cut his nose off to spite his face, didn't
there
he?
There you go. My goodness, you, sir, are a dum-dum. Arkansas won.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
How ridiculous is that? Now, listen, I get mad in traffic, too. Somebody cuts me off, I get really angry.
I would get, I mean, look, I'd be a little, I know they were nervous because Missouri State was, you know, hanging around longer in the game than they should have been. But it just goes to show you how stupid some people get over their favorite team. It just, it
what,
really,
what, well, what, you let was your emotions. That, was that it, or it's more no, getting you, cut off and
no,
the guy.
No question. But you get all wrapped up in all of it, and, you know, your emotions are high, probably half lit.
You'd think after Gotta a win, believe, though, you'd look, be a little more.
I'd have loved to have done a blood alcohol level test on that guy. I mean,
did you see any of that comeback for Arkansas?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Electric.
Yeah.
Like, they flipped that game in a snap of a finger with a long punt return and KJ
Jefferson.
KJ Jefferson
is going to be one of the highly scrutinized players in this offseason as to how he translates to the next level. I like a lot about his game, but more importantly, I love his moxie. When it comes time to get crunch time, I love what he's done.
We got to talk not only about that and a controversial ruling in Notre Dame, Cal, and all that cost you, but also the Maryland win over SMU on Saturday. We got to do that tomorrow because we haven't had a chance with all the Commander stuff and whatever. We got to do that tomorrow because I watched a lot of college football on Saturday, and some of it was just absolutely fascinating.
Hey, it's a great time every weekend. Great time tonight. Rosecroft reopens. I'll be there tonight doing the announcing as always. Post time is set for 7:15. They're off and pacing. We're off to tomorrow, 9 to 12. Linnell is up next. Burgundy and Gold today is coming your way. Keep him company and speak to him on the phone lines at 301-230-0980. And, of course, as you're out and about, keep him live and locked in for free on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.